This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In North Sacramento, the Dos Rios Light Rail Station near Eliza Street was planned and built to connect the residents of two housing developments, Twin Rivers and Cannery Place, and then connect them with downtown Sacramento. The station was funded by California's cap and trade dollars. I talked with two people about this project. Louise Bedsworth, executive director of a state agency that weaves a support network for these kinds of communities. That agency is called Strategic Growth Council. And with A.J. Singh, assistant professor of environmental studies at Sacramento State. He guided us through the cap and trade part of the conversation. First, though, we focused on those communities.
Our investment is in an interconnected set of projects that will help to redevelop the housing projects there, also invest in this light rail station that will build connectivity between this community and the rest of the city. And then we're also investing in solar energy projects and urban greening, community gardens, and other benefits that will help with job training and other projects throughout the community.
Ajay, there are a lot of words there, and maybe they all fit under one word, which is sustainable.
Yes.
And how is that critical to what's being developed, to what's new in the city?
Yeah, so sustainability has to do with there's three pillars. One is economic, the other one's environmental, and the other one's social. From what it sounds like, the Strategic Growth Council is really focusing on how do you connect people, so the social component. The light rail is definitely trying to get people off the road. So there's an environmental component. And there's also an economic component of trying to link people to maybe jobs mm-hmm. and the rest of the community.
One piece of this is that money is going from TCC, this Transformative Climate Communities Program, into this development and into specifically this light rail station, correct?
Yes. And so in this area, we're funding the light rail station. And then there are a number of other project partners who are working on other components. But the largest piece of this investment is in the light rail station.
And is that money what I can directly call, Ajay, cap and trade funds?
Yes. From what it sounds like, the Strategic Growth Council gets a portion of the revenue that's generated by auctions that are sold to power companies, to other industries that emit greenhouse gases. Part of that, those revenues, I believe the Strategic Growth Council gets about 20% of those auctions.
So let's start with the fact that California has a carbon marketplace.
So first you have to understand what is a cap and trade system. A cap and trade system is where the government caps the amount of greenhouse gases which are emitted here in California. After that, what they do is they create a market where industries can buy those credits if they emit those greenhouse gases. And those revenues then go to projects that help reduce those greenhouse gases.
I'm going to pause you because let's go just to the point that the money was raised. So it went to a state bank account from the marketplace. And then how do groups access that?
There's a number of things. One is that priorities are set by legislation and by the governor. Those funds first go in what's called the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. From there, state agencies, looking at the priorities that are set by legislatures, then figure out where should that money go and how can those funds be used for projects that are going to reduce those greenhouse gases.
Have you stepped into the picture yet at this point?
Yes. So we have the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, and at the Strategic Growth Council, we administer several programs under the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. The legislature has set priorities around investing in disadvantaged communities and low-income communities around the state, and then a commitment to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through these investments. So we receive both a continuous appropriation, which means every single year we receive 20% of the cap and trade revenue to support affordable housing and sustainable communities. And then we also receive other appropriations such as this, the Transformative Climate Communities Program, where annually we receive money. And then we run our program, which is a competitive grant program. We work with communities. We provide technical assistance and support to help communities access these funds. And then they will submit their projects to us, and then we select the projects, and then we work with them to help implement them on the ground.
So if I'm a developer that wanted to work on
Twin Rivers or Cannery Place, am I the one that's going to write the grant and submit it to you for funding?
You could be. It's not a satisfying answer. But yes, in some cases, we do have housing developers who will write grants and work on projects for us. And others will have a local government lead or, in some cases, a nonprofit lead. And it really is what works for the community. So especially in transformative climate communities, the core of this program is that it's community-led. So there's a collaborative structure of residents, businesses, and others who've developed a vision. And then the investments are intended to be projects that will contribute to achieving that vision.
The project, though, is going to reduce greenhouse gases through looking at both the source of emissions and the addition of electric vehicles, a number of different ways that it becomes sustainable and contributing to a clean environment.
Yes. So this is intended to provide a clean transportation option that connects residents to businesses and jobs and other destinations. We'll also have jump bike stations nearby, electric vehicle charging, all to provide additional mobility options that will be low greenhouse gas emitting options.
And with that dot in the picture, I think it almost swings us all the way back around to the carbon marketplace, because those projects help Sacramento and this region of the state in being able to get more credits on the marketplace, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So first, what you have to understand is that both the emitters and any projects have to track how much greenhouse gases they're emitting and how much they're avoiding. In the case of the light rail station, whoever applies for those funds has to justify their proposal by saying how many greenhouse gases they believe are going to be reduced. As far as the credits are on the cap and trade side, yes, there is a mechanism for offsets. For example, if an industry doesn't want to buy any credits, what they can do is they can invest in projects where they can, let's say, we're offsetting our emissions by reducing someone else's emissions.
What else is important to know in how this happens?
Again, with this Transformative Climate Communities program, really the key to it is this community-led initiative. And so in the case of Twin Rivers, it's really how do we connect this community? How do we make an investment that will help to catalyze transformation, which encompasses making the environment cleaner, but also creating economic opportunity and providing, you know, protecting public health, ensuring that the residents who live there are not displaced by these investments. All of this is the work we're trying to support on the ground.
This isn't the only project happening right now under this umbrella. Will you describe some of the others?
Every project is unique, and so we've conducted two rounds of this initiative. We just awarded this grant to Sacramento in December at the same time we supported Pacoima, which is down in Los Angeles. The lead applicant there is a nonprofit, collaborative, neighborhood-based group. In previous rounds, we supported work in Ontario, California, down in Watts, and in Fresno. And so in each of these, we see a different collection of investments. So in Fresno, for instance, a cornerstone investment is in the local community college. In many cases, we tend to see urban greening, so tree planting, community gardens. Some common threads across all of these investments, though, is that every project has a community engagement plan, this collaborative stakeholder structure I keep mentioning, at its core. Every project has a workforce development plan. And then how do we avoid displacement? So a big challenge when you're investing in disadvantaged communities is ensuring that the residents and businesses who are there don't get pushed out by that investment. So in every project area, we help to develop these plans to ensure that the residents who are there benefit from these investments.
Getting back to the cap and trade program, Ajay, is this proving to be an effective model for reducing greenhouse gas emissions?
That's a very complicated question. The state is trying to figure out how do you reduce greenhouse gases without harming the economy. The way that it's been set up is that there is a price floor and there's a price ceiling for allowances. So for the allowances that industries buy, the price of those allowances has pretty much hugged the floor. The price ceiling is about $50 per allowance. There's been about $8 billion that's been generated since 2014, which is quite a bit of money to then go into projects like these. But are we going to be reducing our greenhouse gas emissions over time? That's a big question. I think that's a question that we need to be cognizant of as we are not only reducing the amount of allowances that are available in the market, but also our industries starting to invest in technologies and practices that reduce those emissions as well. And then on the flip side, where are those investments being put in? Are they actually reducing some greenhouse gases?
I heard you essentially repeating the question I asked you.
Yes.
So there hasn't been intensive study yet to know any conclusion.
Not to my knowledge. Industries are need to track how much greenhouse gases they're emitting. And we know how many credits that they're buying. But as far as are we going to meet the goals of reducing greenhouse gases 40% below 1990 levels by 2030, that's a pretty big goal based upon where we are right now and where we need to be.
Louise, of that $8 billion, how much have you seen move or is in the process of moving to projects?
At the Strategic Growth Council, we've overseen about $1 billion in investment through the Transformative Climate Communities program, but then also through our Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities program. In that program, we invest in housing interconnected to transportation projects in infill areas across the state. And so for every project, we quantify avoided greenhouse gas emissions and also look at the other benefits that are coming from these investments around economic opportunity, connectivity, mobility, public health, helping to build resilience in communities. And these are all priorities that have been established by the legislature for our investments.
If the cap and trade program ends, do these projects stop? Is there an alternative funding source?
For us right now, our projects are funded through this program. And if it were to end, I think for now, we would not have this funding available.
So that is a question. Does this become somewhat of a self-fulfilling kind of plan because it starts to generate the kind of growth and change and impact that communities are looking for? Does that, in essence, preserve the cap and trade funding template?
That's interesting. That's an interesting point of, are we going to need this cap and trade system in perpetuity? And my sense is yes, because the only alternative that we have is something like a carbon tax, where we apply a tax to consumer goods. And what we've seen is that Australia and British Columbia have tried a carbon tax, but it's a regressive tax, meaning that it burdens poorer folks. So a cap and trade system is a better system for us right now. Whether we transition to something like a carbon tax is a good question.
If somebody happened to be hearing this conversation, Louise, and had a project, where does someone with an idea or a plan begin?
Well, in terms of accessing funding, I would definitely encourage folks to come to the Strategic Growth Council's website, sgc.ca.gov. I think also looking for partners. A lot of our projects, we see a lot of partnership happening and collaboration to bring together multiple benefits of these investments. And then additionally, we have a number of technical assistance and capacity building programs that we provide that can help folks to identify our funding projects, but then also potentially identify other Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund investment opportunities.
That was Louise Bedsworth, Executive Director of Strategic Growth Council, and A.J. Singh, Assistant Professor of Environmental Studies at Sacramento State. There's more coverage at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.